You know, the Bible describes the Spirit with some of the most vivid and beautiful imagery. Wind, breath, fire, cloud, water, dove. And through these wonderful images, the Bible writers tell us that the Spirit of God invigorates, it animates, it purifies, it moves, it flows, giving joy and peace. In the first book of the Bible, Genesis, it's God's Spirit that hovers above the waters like the wind, creating beauty out of chaos. In Exodus, God's Spirit appears as fire in the burning bush, calling out to Moses. And then it appears as a pillar in the form of a cloud and fire moving across the wilderness, leading the way to freedom. John the Baptist would go on to foretell of the availability of the Spirit in Mark chapter 1. He would say these words, "I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And when John baptizes Jesus in the water, the onlookers there would see the Spirit appearing like a dove descending upon him. Further on in his own ministry, Jesus would liken the Spirit to water. John chapter 7, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink, because whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." And what is it that's at the heart of Jesus' life and message? It's the good news that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of life itself, the wind, the breath, the fire, the cloud, the water, the dove, the Spirit who filled Jesus was on the move in this world of ours. That was at the heart of Jesus' life and message. And that was exactly what the disciples experienced on that day of Pentecost. The Spirit came with wind and with fire, and they were able to speak in languages that they'd never ever spoken before. Verse 4 tells us, as the followers of Jesus sat in one place, all of them were filled. All of them. Not some, not a few, but all of them had that life-changing experience. And for them, the way the Spirit came was very unprecedented, something they'd never ever seen before in their lives. They were told it would happen, but the reality of the movement was far beyond what they could ever have seen or imagined. As I watched the royal wedding yesterday, I was amused by the little boy carrying the train. And as he entered the chapel, suddenly the camera was on her. But in the background, he's there holding the train, and the trumpeters started the fanfare. The opera singer started to go, and his face just, whoa, what's all this? And actually, that must have been exactly the same. These people had never seen anything like Pentecost before. They never grasped the enormity of it. They were told it was happening, but the reality of the moment was far beyond what they could have ever imagined. Their lives was going to be different from now on. Now, you and I sit in the beautiful privilege of knowing of these miraculous happenings. We have, I would hope, great expectations of what life in Christ will bring. And we wait with that expectation because we're not ignorant of what happened when Jesus lived amongst us. At Advent, what do we sing? That great Christmas song, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come, let earth receive her King, let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing." And we've got an expectation that with the coming of Jesus into our world, our lives are going to be different. That's why we sing it. We all hope for that transformation into goodness. Dallas Willard, the great American theologian, writes in one of his books these words: "There is a great disparity between, on the one hand, the hope for life expressed in Jesus, found real in the Bible, and in many shining examples from among his followers. And on the other hand, the actual day-to-day behaviour, inner life, and social presence of most of those who now profess adherence to him. I think he speaks an important truth, that sometimes that for which we wait doesn't always come. That for which we wait doesn't always come. I love having a car with cruise control. Not because I'm lazy, but because it actually allows me to keep to the speed limit in certain places. Not that I've had a speeding ticket since 1994, may I hasten to add, but I do like to have a car with cruise control. Especially around here, you get on that Oldbury Viaduct, 30 miles an hour, away it goes. I get on the motorway driving anywhere, 70 miles an hour, there it goes. And I just plough merrily along. I let the car do the work for me. I'm always amazed at what other drivers are doing around me, because there I am, sat at 70 mile an hour in my cruise control, and often I'll get somebody overtake me. And it's often the sergeant major, pull in front of me and then start moving away. Now, I don't change anything. I just carry on merrily. And a few miles down the road, I found myself overtaking that same car that's overtaken me. It's quite clear he's obviously dropped his speed. He's gone from 75 to 80 miles an hour that made him overtake me, down to under 70 that I managed to catch him up and pass him. And so I overtake him again. And I don't change, I don't knock off my cruise control. And what happens? 5 more miles down the road, he's overtaking me again. And for a period of 40 miles, this guy can overtake me and I overtake him. And it goes on all the time. I haven't changed anything. I've kept my car at 70 mile an hour. And the amount of people that do that. And what it tells me is that actually there's that inconsistency in somebody's driving habit that they're doing this all the time. In a world full of big challenges, we need the experience of the mighty rushing wind at Pentecost. We need the quality of life that the Spirit can make real in others, in us. We want the life of the kingdom in every corner of our being. And you know what? We want it constant, and we want it consistent. We don't want it to be like the cars overtaking me on the motorway. Oof, zip, zip, zip. No, no, no. We need it to be there, empowering on a regular basis, doing its thing all the time. So how can you and I keep the Spirit of God beating strongly within? How can we do that? Well, on his second missionary journey, Paul finds himself in Athens. And this is where we pick up Acts chapter 17. In those days, Athens was a great university town in a world and a city of many gods. And around the city were all these altars, these statues. And in walking around, he notices one. And on the bottom it says, to an unknown god. And whilst he's in the company of all these scholars, Paul grabs his opportunity and says, hey guys, you know this god that you think is unknown? I know who it is. And I'm going to tell you who he is. I'm going to explain to you the God of this world that you think is unknown. And he starts by presenting God as a living being. God is not inanimate. He's not a statue. He's not an idol. God is active. He's a giver. Verse 25, he says this. He himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. He's not a statue, guys. He's alive. He's living. He's active. You know, the Spirit of God can live within each and every one of us. And you and I can experience Spirit-powered living for ourselves. And I think he gives us three little ways that I just want to draw out quickly from here. First of all, he suggests that in order to keep the Spirit of God beating, there has to be a daily alignment. From verse 25, having said that he gives life to all men and breath and everything else, he says this, verse 27, God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each and every one of us. You know, for all of God's manifest presence in the world, and we see it, we can notice it, I have to tell you, he still has to be sought. God still has to be sought. If we do seek him, he will find us. And then we, even more deeply, will find him. But we have to seek him. He has to be sought. There needs to be a daily alignment with God. If we're going to have the Spirit beating deeply within, we need to be aligning ourselves with God. How's your daily alignment in honesty and truth? How's your daily alignment with God, the life giver? Sunday morning isn't enough, guys. Spirit-powered living requires that we intentionally seek out God every day. And familiarity will never breed contempt. It will never lessen the sense of us being on holy ground. And the more we encounter the Almighty in our daily lives, the more we'll recognize his presence surrounding us and sustaining us wherever we are. Secondly, Paul continues, for in him we live and move and have our being. As well as a daily alignment, there's got to be a daily embodiment. Live, move, be. There has to be a daily embodiment of the Spirit's presence within. There has to be Spirit-powered living in action. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, sang the singing company. That is daily embodiment of the Spirit within. The Spirit that God lets free in our souls needs to be set free out in the world. And we have to do that because in him we live and move and have our being. Finally, Paul, when he's arguing the case and explaining this living God to them, he talks about the need for repentance. He finishes, in the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he calls all people everywhere to repent. And actually, I think this is an important part of the third way in which we keep the Spirit beating within. We have a daily self-scrutiny. A daily self-scrutiny. You know, if your neighbour had their car on the drive and the bonnet was always up and every other week the AA was turning up with their home start to get the car going, I'm guessing you might think he's bought a jalopy or a banger. You might be right. But then, if in talking to him, you discover that he's put petrol into his diesel car because it's cheaper, then you can hardly blame the maker or the manufacturer of the car, can you? The car wasn't built to work under conditions that your neighbour put them in. If it wanted petrol, it wanted petrol. If it wanted diesel, it wanted diesel. Thankfully, with a bit of remedial work, a good mechanic will empty the fuel line, empty the tank, and away we go and start again. It's back up and running. Friends, the spiritual life, the walk in Christ, isn't just meant to run on anything you want to give it. The spiritual life in Christ isn't meant to just run on anything you may give it. And so Spirit-powered living turns the power of the Spirit inward as well as outwards, scrutinizing the motives and intentions behind our actions and words, enables the Spirit to dictate our every move. And sometimes we have to recognize what we've given our spiritual walk isn't adequate. And that's where self-scrutiny comes in. And that's why where the sanctifying power of God takes over. I don't know about you, but I understand where Willard was coming from with that quote at the beginning that I read, because sometimes the hope we have for the Spirit's manifestation in our life isn't always like that, is it? That actually what we know and the reality are poles apart. I read this little, not a quote, but a few questions in a book by James Harnish, and he said this: where do you find the power to hang on in there in this world? Where do you find the power to keep going when the going really gets tough? Where do you find the power to continue to believe in love in a world that's filled with hate? Where do we find the power to continue to work for peace in a world that's addicted to violence? Where do we find the power to continue to believe in good in a world that is filled with so much suffering and pain? Where do we find the power to continue to believe that ultimately God's kingdom will come and God's will as revealed in Jesus will be done in all of creation? Where do we find the power to be a disciple of Jesus in this world? Well, it's simple, friends. The power comes from the Spirit of God indwelling and empowering us. Because touched by the Spirit, we can think more clearly, feel more deeply, speak more truthfully, love more extravagantly, serve more creatively, give more lavishly, and live more fully. You know, when we open up space for the Spirit and let the Spirit fill that space within us, we begin to change and we become agents of change. And this morning, like the disciples in the upper room at Pentecost, what do we do? You've come to the meeting, and I'd like to think that you've come to present yourselves to God, because that's how I've come. I'd like to think that we have become receptive and desire the fullness of the Spirit to fall upon us, to dwell within us, to blow like the wind, to glow like fire, to flow like a river, to descend like a dove in and among us. And so this morning, at the end of this meeting, I just say, let's open up our hearts and let's dare to believe that the Spirit we read about in the Scriptures can move in us today and can move us today, empowering us in these times just as he did on that first Pentecost Sunday. How's the Spirit moving in you? How's your daily alignment? How's your daily embodiment? How's your daily self-scrutiny? Come, open up a space for the Spirit and let the Spirit fill the space. Will you do that? To help us, we're going to use a little song to reflect this morning, to just open up a space for the Spirit within us, to just ask the Spirit to come and fill that space. Beautiful old song that simply says, breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me. I'm creating a space for your Spirit. I really am. I really am. Fill me with life anew. Help me to align daily with you. Help me in my life to embody all that the Spirit is. And help me to be brave enough to do a bit of self-scrutiny. Sing with me. Create a space and let the Spirit fill it.
Thank you.
on this day of Pentecost, I do believe it's important for us to create a space for the Spirit to fill. I'm going to ask Jean to just quietly play for us in the background as we do that. And I just want you to just open yourself to the Spirit, as I'm going to do as well. Just where is your daily alignment? Where is your daily embodiment? How's your self-scrutiny? What are you putting into your spiritual walk? Are you trying to put petrol into a diesel tank and wondering why nothing comes out? Let's just create that space for the Spirit to fill. Let's quietly pick up that third verse. Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am wholly thine, until this earthly part of me glows together. Breathe on me, breath. Created space this morning. May this be a regular occurrence in our lives, not just a Sunday morning activity, but it's so important that we create space for the Spirit to fill. And so teach us how to daily seek you out, daily align with you, that we can come for that infilling, we can come for that sanctification, we can come to be made whole. May we come to be empowered so that daily we can embody all that Jesus is, that through our life people will see Christ. And may we be willing, Lord, to be very truthful about ourselves and how we are as we scrutinize ourselves before you, as we lay ourselves before you, to the point of recognizing that sometimes we don't do what we should, we don't put in what we should, and therefore we don't take out what we can. So Lord, come on this day of Pentecost. May we know as we go from this place, the burning fire of God, the beautiful, peaceful wind of the Spirit to be within us. Use us, move in us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.